Hallelujah.
Now, we started with the fact that we need to forget the past. If anybody wants to move forward, they need to forget the past. Hallelujah. And repent if they are living in sin. Ask God to forgive you, and He will. And you put it behind you. You also forgive those who sinned against you. Otherwise, you're going to feel condemned. So the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things, said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past, and pressing forward to the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we need to leave sin behind. And God says, I am he that blotted out thy transgression for mine own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Amen. So God will not remember it. Don't recall it. We said, don't recall sin. Don't rehearse what you did wrong. Now, number two, we said, possess your possessions. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the work of the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Hallelujah. So the word of God, we have to be in the word. To possess your possessions, you have to be in the word of God. Glory be to God, learning the word of God, standing upon the promises of God. We said we will seize the word of God. The Bible says that from the time of John the Baptist, even until now, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. And if you look at who was operating between John the Baptist and himself, he was the only one, himself and the disciples, which meant he saw the word of God and he took it by force. So you need to commit to studying the word of God, stay in the word of God, even as a tree is committed to the ground. That's how we have to stay in the word. Psalm 1 from verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. So when we stay in the word of God, we possess what belongs to us. The Bible says we're made partakers of the divine nature through the promises. How do we do that? By acknowledging them. In Philemon 6, some say Philemon, is chapter 1, verse 6, it says that the communication of your faith might become effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we believe with our hearts, we declare it with our mouths, and it becomes ours. Amen? For as long as you're doubting the word of God, the place of meditation is yours. You need to meditate on the word of God until it becomes a part of your inner consciousness. If the word of God is not a part of your inner consciousness, it will stay in the mind. It means it has not gone into your heart. It will go into your spirit, then it becomes a part of your life. And what drives that into your spirit is meditation. Now, meditation is not like the Eastern meditation that they have in Christ. It is merely speaking the word of, believing the word of God with your heart and speaking the word of God out of your mouth repeatedly until it dawns on you what you're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three is that we said that we should be in fellowship with other believers. Amen. We should not isolate ourselves. When you get saved, that is what leads to backsliding. Some people have backslidden. They have a tag that they're Christians, but they're not living the Christian life. They're living in disobedience to the word of God. And because nobody's there to check them, they are just doing whatever they like. What do I mean by check them? The place of fellowship with other believers brings us into subjection or submission to authority, spiritual authority, which we must have. Amen. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 3, can we bring up verse 14? Hallelujah. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I'll take you one of a city, two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. Verse 15 is where I'm going. It says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Now obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is righteous. That word right there also means righteous. Just like he said, this is just. Amen? It is right. It's a proper thing to do. Glory be to God. And why are they there? Why are they there? They're there to be a guide. Amen? And not for manipulation. Amen? We know that the Berean church, the Bible called them more noble in that they search the scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul said were so. Amen? So when the preacher is preaching, you have to have your Bible with you. The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. So you're talking to me about the word of God. I'm talking to you about the word of God. Number four, which is where we are today. Set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things in heaven, things above, and maintain a sanctified life. Glory be to God. You know, sometimes when we get into claiming it, receiving it, and all of that, we feel good. We're enjoying ourselves. And anything that seems to tell us, don't do something, they say, you have brought the law. We're living under grace. You have brought the law. You know, we don't listen to the devil. We look at the word of God. The word of God is balanced. Amen? He said, make due diligence to add to your faith virtue. So it's not just faith, there's virtue. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, he said, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is grace and there is truth. What is truth? Truth is the works that accompany the manifestation or facilitate the manifestation. Amen? There are works of righteousness. There are works that support our faith. There are works that declare, show clearly that we're Christians. The Bible says faith without our works is dead, being alone. Amen? So we have to live the Christian life. So we set our affections. Let's look at, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear in glory. Amen? So we need to set our feelings, our affections on the things above, on eternal things, and not upon the earth. You have to look at things upon the earth from the eternal lens, from your eternal values. We have to have eternal values. If we're not looking at eternity, we'll live life as though it ended here. So somebody can trip you up with anything. They come to you, some naughty person comes around, offers you some free sex, and you run with it. Why? When you don't have eternal value. The Bible says, when there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. If you don't have a goal, an eternal goal, we have to set our affection somewhere. We have to remember that Jesus is coming soon. Now, when a servant forgets that Jesus is coming, he will then turn around and start living recklessly and then beating up fellow servants and all of that. We need to come out from among them and be separate. So first, we set our affections on things around the throne of God. Amen. Things that have to do with the age to come. Things that have to do with the kingdom of God. Things that have to do with righteousness. Amen. And then we maintain a sanctified life. Hallelujah. In Colossians, the same Colossians chapter 3, if we read one verse down, it says, so kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire locking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. Hallelujah. Maintain a sanctified life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 1. I'm going to do some reading now. He said, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. So the first part of sanctification is to walk away from fornication. Now, this word fornication is the umbrella word for sexual immorality. Amen? So he says that we should do what? We should abstain from fornication. Amen? Sex before marriage. You're not supposed to be shacking up with someone that you're not married to and be sleeping with them. Now, if you're not saved here, you're not born again, it will look like I put a mountain over your head. Don't worry about it. When you get saved, then God will give you grace to live for him. And I'm going to show you that real quick before I continue. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Amen. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Why? Because of the spirit of God, which God has put within you. That happens when you get born again. When you get born again, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new, and all of these things are of God. Amen. So God takes away the old and puts in the new. You become a new creature. You have ability now, strength to live a sanctified life. Amen. And you get filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost causes you to keep God's word and to do his judgments, to do the word. Amen. So we ought to stay away from the world. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. There's a lot of reading here also. Praise the Lord Jesus. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, cursing people out, using vulgar language, saying things you ought not to be saying. When you get born again, you need to weed those things out of your life. They don't belong in the believer. Nor jesting, jokes which are not convenient. You know those body part jokes, you know, people make it to accommodate some things in the offices. Shut it down. And one of the ways you shut it down as a believer is to announce that you're a Christian. When you come in, say, I'm born again. Put your Bible on the table. Let your boss say, put it in the drawer, but at least put it on the table first. He said, but rather, giving of thanks. Amen. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater had an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. There are movies you shouldn't watch. Now, sometimes these things can come on you, and you just see yourself watching some soap opera that is almost like an X-rated soap opera. Recover yourself and walk away from there. And it means that you need to start fasting. You need to start praying more in the spirit to get out of that place. Because how did you get there? Always, listen, always recover yourself quickly.
You know, you can be in a place and people are cracking your jokes, and it's like you want to laugh, but bite your lips. Don't do that. You catch yourself. Even if you laughed at the first part of it, shut it down. Train yourself. Hallelujah. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Don't be a partaker with them. So it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were darkness. Now you are light. If you're born again, if you're not born again, get ready to get born again today. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We prove what is acceptable. We find out what is acceptable to God. And we do them. We're believers. We're the righteousness of God. We're not unbelievers. We're kings and priests unto our God. You don't live like a nobody, a worthless nobody. No. You live like the righteousness of God. You are a king of righteousness. You're a righteous king. You're a holy priesthood. We are a chosen generation, the Bible says. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's who we are. We're seated together with Christ in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. We are children of light. So walk with dignity. Don't look down on yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in all what? Goodness. You're doing good, doing righteous deeds. Amen. Walking in the truth, in integrity of God's word, as children of God. It's approving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship, zero fellowship, with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now listen, if you're having problems with what I'm talking about, you're not born again yet. You need to be saved. And if you're in that place where, you know, these things, we have to be more realistic, we have to consider the weaknesses of people and all of that, you are in the wrong thinking and you need to get out of there. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We didn't become saved because we waited until salvation. We felt saved, then we're saved. No. We believed into it. Have no fellowship, zero fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, speak against them. Amen. Correct them. Hallelujah. Correct, shame them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Show them to be wrong. Refute them. Don't accept them. Don't keep quiet when they're saying these things that don't make sense. No. You tell them, no, I don't accept that. You need to be born again. And when you're born again, stand on the word of God. Stand your ground. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspect means to take into account all the facets of it. Like you say, God is love. And you also consider that God says, be ye holy, for I'm holy. So when you say God is love, consider also that God is holy. So if I'm walking in love, and in the part of my walking in love, I see something that is ungodly, I don't go with it. Because if I go with it, I'll walk in unrighteousness, in an unholy arena. I'll be touching the unclean thing. So being circumspect in my thinking says I must consider the holiness of God, not just the love of God. Amen? You have to be sanctified. It's there. It's a holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Glory be to God. But we are holy, amen? We're royal priesthood, a holy nation. So we're holy. We maintain holiness by standing away from sexual immorality, standing away from, you know, cursing people out, you know, because those are perverted words. They ought not to come out of your mouth. Vulgar words.
hallelujah, should not come out of the mouth of a believer. No unwholesome words should come out of the mouth of the believer. Remember that you give account of every idle word that you speak in this way. He said, men, not just believers. He said, men, which means whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, you will give account of all those things you're saying. In fact, every word you have uttered in this world or will utter, you will give account. Only those things that are washed away by the blood of Jesus do not come into account in the day of judgment. Every other thing will come. Why are we talking like this? Because it is true. Salvation through Jesus Christ is the only exemption from condemnation. That's the only thing. The blood of Jesus. Amen? And when we live the way God wants us to live, God will give us more grace to live for Him. More grace. Each time He provides more grace. More grace. More grace. More grace. Until such a time when you find out that some things that tripped you up yesterday don't trip you up anymore. And as you're coming to the congregation of the saints and the gathering, we're praying together with you. You find out that the things that were affecting you yesterday no longer affect you.